Okay, that was a little dark, but hopefully you got the idea and you remember the movie, right? I've been waiting for you, Obi-Wan. We meet again at last. You know, from the moment that we meet Obi-Wan Kenobi, there's no doubt that he will eventually face Darth Vader. Many plays and movies and novels and real-life stories reach a climax when two people, long separated, come together at last, for good or ill. In the Gospel of Luke, there is just such a scene between Jesus and Herod Antipas. Herod has been in the background throughout Luke's Gospel. Luke tells us earlier that Herod, this is Herod Antipas, who wanted to hunt Jesus down, he wanted to kill him during Jesus' Galilean ministry. And only Luke gives us this scene where they meet at last during the trial of Jesus. The decadent, self-absorbed Roman puppet king meets the courageous servant king sent by God. Herod had longed for this moment. He saw Jesus as sort of a combination of John the Baptist, the frightening but fascinating wilderness preacher, and a kind of a sideshow performer who could do magic tricks. If he didn't say it audibly, I'm just pretty sure Herod thought, "So, Jesus, we meet at last." That dramatic scene is the text for today. In this series of messages that I've titled God Stories, we consider eight individual stories in the Bible. And every story, there are what we learned last week, inciting incidents. There are moments of conflict or trouble or disappointment, or in this case, confrontation, that can lead to wonderful change and deeper faith if we respond as God wills. This was Herod's moment. How would he respond? We all have a God story. We all have such moments. Now, before we get to the text, a little bit of background on Herod Antipas. Remember, Herod is like the family name. And so the different Herods we discover or come across in the New Testament are not all the same, but they're all of the same family. So let's go back to the Herod family tree from last week, and we can see Herod the Great, who was the king at the birth of Christ over the entire area of Palestine, quite a large area really, had a number of sons, and I've just listed three. He had many more. And one of those was Herod Antipas. Another, and that's the Herod in our story today. And then on the one of the other sons was Herod Philip, who married Herodias, who was the daughter of another son of Herod. Now remember, Herod had many wives as well. So these are like half brothers marrying half part nieces. It's a sordid kind of deal. But anyway, we'll get to that. Herod Antipas, the son of Herod the Great, lived from 6 to 39 A.D. He was regarded by contemporaries in the New Testament and outside the New Testament as sly, ambitious, lavish, and not nearly so gifted or able a ruler as his father was. And upon hearing that Antipas was trying to kill him, Jesus said, "Go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I'll reach my goal." Now, when Jesus used the word fox, he didn't use it the way we kind of typically hear it used in modern culture on the movie screens. He's talking about someone who is not trustworthy, who is sly and ambitious and quick to betray anyone that would benefit him to betray. His father, Herod the Great, made him a mere tetrarch. That meant he divided up his kingdom, and Herod Antipas only got part of it, the part that included Galilee. It was a disappointment to Antipas, a disappointment that he didn't get all of his father's kingdom, a disappointment that he was determined to rectify. And now here's the key part of his life. Although he was already married, at one point he actually, while visiting his half-brother Philip, sort of eloped or ran off with his half-brother Philip's wife, Herodias. Because he could, I guess. The scandalous conduct of Antipas and Herodias drew the attention and ire of that wilderness preacher that we find in the New Testament, John the Baptist. John had boldly preached against what Herod had done. He said things like, "It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And in response to John's preaching, Herod did not repent, didn't send Herodias back to her husband. He had John arrested and put in prison. And then Matthew reports that he wanted to kill John, but he was afraid. He was afraid of the people because they held John to be a prophet. But his hand was forced by Herodias. The daughter of Herodias was the entertainment at a festive party to celebrate Antipas's birthday. And after she had danced before the nobles to the great gratification of all, especially Herod, he lavishly promised anything in his kingdom, up to half his kingdom, anything she asked for. And her mother put her up, or induced her, to request as a reward the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Because Herodias hated John because of his preaching. He told the truth. And although he didn't want to, although it scared him and grieved him, Herod Antipas commanded it to be done. And it was. The crime haunted his conscience. So when he began to hear about this Jesus of Nazareth, he was bewildered and frightened. Herod, with this strange mixture of Jewish religion and pagan superstition, concluded, maybe it's John the Baptist. Maybe he's risen from the dead. And that's why his miraculous powers are at work in him. We find Herod Antipas in Jerusalem when Jesus was arrested by the temple police, taken to Pilate, and then from Pilate to Herod. Let's pick up with this inciting incident in the life of Herod Antipas. Luke 23, beginning with verse 6. It's Jesus before Pilate. Upon hearing this, Pilate asked if the man, Jesus, was a Galilean. When he heard that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some miracle. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Herod was so eager to see Jesus. And yet, when the actual meeting occurred, he was very disappointed. I want to look at three ways in which I'm pretty sure Herod was very disappointed in Jesus. What do we learn from these? First, Herod was disappointed in the appearance of Jesus. Jesus hardly appeared to be this mighty prophet and miracle worker that Herod had feared. When he's brought before Herod, he's beaten and bloodied and in chains. There wasn't much to inspire in the appearance of Jesus. A woman once asked me about the appearance of Jesus. She asked, "Do you think Jesus was a good-looking man?" In jest, I think, she insisted, "My Jesus has to be good-looking, a man of inspiring appearance. I didn't know how to respond to that. We tend to want Jesus to be this powerful, awe-inspiring, God-like man, like the gods of Rome and Greece. About 5 years ago, I read a novel, a historical novel by Shusaku Endo. The title was The Samurai. It's set in 17th century Japan, right before intense Christian persecution broke out against Christians there. The Catholic Church in that time had made great inroads into Japan and converted many people to Christianity. And there was a coming persecution that would all but stamp it out. It tells the story, the samurai, of Hasakura, a samurai sent as an envoy with a Catholic missionary to the Spanish viceroy of Mexico, and then on to Europe to negotiate trading privileges. And he's with this Catholic missionary who convinces Hasakura that his success, his mission for his country, depends on him converting to Christianity, which Hasakura does not want to do. He just can't understand how anyone could venerate, much less worship, the broken, emaciated man that he sees portrayed on the cross in every church that he goes into. So he asks at one point in the story, he asks another old Japanese man who had become a Christian. He said, "How can you revere such a miserable, wretched fellow? How can you worship someone so ugly and emaciated?" And the old man responds, "I believe in him now because the life he lived in this world was more wretched than any other man's. Because he was ugly and emaciated, he knew all there was to know about the sorrows of this world. He could not close his eyes to the grief and agony of mankind. That's what made him emaciated and ugly. Had he lived an exalted, powerful life beyond our grasp, I would not feel like this about him. Even if you care nothing for him, he will always care about you." Well, Hasakura isn't convinced. "I can get by without thinking about him." And the wise old Japanese Christian man says, "Do you really think so?" Well, there would come a time in Hasakura's life when he would change. Now, I won't spoil the story because it's a good one. It's a great read. It challenges the common kind of American view of Jesus. He did not come to appeal to the baser nature that's inspired by something so shallow as outward appearance. So Herod, I think, must have been very disappointed at the appearance of the Son of God. He could never understand the Messiah King who came to be came not to be served, but to serve and give his life, his emaciated life, a ransom for many, including the arrogant Antipas. The second disappointment of Herod with Jesus was in the performance of Jesus. Herod gleefully anticipated seeing eye-popping miracles performed by Jesus. I mean, he had heard of so many. He wanted a show. Herod treated Jesus like a court jester, someone required to perform for the enjoyment of the king. He had heard rumors of such fantastic things, of healing lepers and cripples and calming the storm on a sea, walking on water, even raising the dead. And all this for mere commoners, farmers, fishermen, merchants, even the homeless. Herod could hardly wait to see what this magic Messiah would do in his court before the cultured and educated elites of their world. Well, Jesus performed no miracles for Herod. He performs for no one. He takes commands from no one. How disappointed Antipas was when Jesus refused to turn his water to wine or walk across his pool or levitate before him or do some other magic trick. Jesus didn't come to entertain or wow people with power miracles. He would not appeal to those looking for thrills. Herod wasn't the first one to demand a miracle. Luke 11:29, it says, as the crowds increased, Jesus said, "This is a wicked generation. It asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah." And as he stood before Herod, that most incredible sign was just 3 days away. Some still seek spiritual thrills, I think. Not really a Savior on a cross. "Wow me with a miracle, Jesus, and then I'll believe." You never find Jesus making such a deal. Only those who humbly bow before Him and love Him and trust Him receive anything from Him. So Herod was very disappointed in Jesus. Disappointed in His appearance. Disappointing in His performance. And finally, he was most surely disappointed in the answers of Jesus. We all have questions for God, don't we? We all have questions for Jesus. Herod had a lot of them. It says in the passage, Herod plied Him with many questions. And I wondered, what questions did Herod ply Him with? I imagine Herod asked questions like, "Well, if you're a king, if you're the Messiah, where's your court? Where's your attendance? No one's with you. Where's your robe? Where's your scepter? Where's your crown that would identify you as this great king and Messiah?" I imagine he asked, "My father tried to kill you when you were just a baby. Why was he so frightened of the likes of you?" I imagine he asked, "I have trouble with my complexion. Could you touch this pimple and make it go away? If you can heal lepers, surely you could handle a zit. Bring me a glass of water. Could you turn this into wine? That'd be cool. I'd like to see that." See, there was not the slightest hint of sincerity in Herod or his questions. So there'd be no stunning appearance. No stunning appearance or jaw-dropping miracle or brilliant answers were going to change Herod's heart. As long as Herod spoke down to Jesus with this self-assured arrogance, as if Jesus were beholding to him, as if Jesus' fate were really in his hands, there'd be no response from Jesus. There would be no chance of Herod finding something deeper and greater than his temporary little power trip. And it was more temporary than he realized. Jesus never utters a word to Herod. He remains silent throughout the ordeal, ends up being sent back to Pilate, and you know the rest of the story. How different Jesus' response might have been to Herod had he showed the slightest hint of humility. Don Miller wrote a book just fairly recently. It's titled A Million Miles in a Thousand Years. It's kind of a different sort of spiritual book. He writes about the telling of a story and how story works. And he kind of makes the point that your life is a story, but you can have a part of making that story and so on. And at one point, he says something very interesting. He says, if the point of life is the same as the point of a story, the point of life is character transformation. In nearly every story, the protagonist is transformed. He's a jerk at the beginning and nice at the end, or a coward at the beginning and brave at the end. If the character doesn't change, well, the story hasn't happened. Herod Antipas missed his inciting incident, his opportunity to embrace a Savior and a Lord who could change his life, transform his character, and offer a new and wonderful conclusion to his life story. It was right there. And he let it go. Instead, he joined in those contemptuously mocking Jesus. how quickly curiosity in Jesus moves to contemptuous mocking. 6 years later, the Emperor Caligula in Rome discovered that Antipas was plotting with a Roman general against the empire. Caligula called Antipas to Rome. Antipas thought the emperor was calling him to Rome to restore all of his father's kingdom to him. As Antipas was with the emperor, in that very moment, letters from his nephew Agrippa were delivered. Letters that proved his guilt in the conspiracy. Antipas was confronted by the emperor. He confessed, and he was banished to a faraway place called Spain. Spain, where he died in shame, ingloriously. Do you know this Jesus that Herod missed? Do you know the one who is bloodied and bruised and emaciated for you? Can you serve the Jesus who refuses to perform but goes to the cross on your behalf? Can you trust Him even if every question isn't answered? Will you serve Him even if He doesn't magically make your troubles disappear? Conflicts, troubles, disappointments, confrontations are inciting incidents in our life story, in your life story. In those moments, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Look to the crucified Christ as your Savior, to the risen Christ as your Lord. And that moment in your life can be the beginning of a change that will transform your life. And then your story will reflect His glory. The saving, transforming grace of Christ never disappoints. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, as we seek You, help us to do so with humble hearts. Help us, Lord God Almighty, to serve You even when the prayer is not answered the way we want. Help us, Lord God, to trust You even when every question is not answered to our satisfaction. Help us, Lord God Almighty, to trust that You see the bigger picture and that Your desire is to provide life that is transformed and joyful forevermore. Help us, Lord God Almighty, to trust You, to love You with all our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.